If the teachings of the church are harming people, then we need to rethink those teachings. The devilish statement above was made by the, quote, Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber, a popular minister of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and the ELCA, as they're known as, is the largest group of Lutherans in America, and the E in their name has nothing to do with their doctrinal theology. It is more so historic tradition, because they are not evangelical in their doctrine, therefore their practice. Furthermore, is Tim Wildman from American Family Association. He writes that she said that the traditional teachings of Christianity are utter fill-in-the-blank, I'll say nonsense. And as for the church as we know it, we have to, quote, burn it all down and start all over. Boltz Weber is a rock star for many, quote-unquote, progressive Christians. Last summer she was selected to address more than 30,000 teenagers at the ELCA Youth Conference. What she said to them requires a little background. In their affirmation of baptism service, those coming to be baptized, water baptized that is, are asked, quote, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? The response, I renounce them. And mocking that vow, Boltz Weber asked the crowd of teenagers, do you renounce, watch this, do you renounce the lie that queerness, in other words, homosexual behavior, do you renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty? Witnesses said the crowd of young people screamed, I renounce them! 30,000 teenagers, or at least most of them. Of course, there are many Bible-believing Lutherans in America, and Boltz Weber's very busy speaking schedule is not limited to those in the liberal Lutheran camp. A critique in First Things magazine of the foul-mouthed pro-homosexual pastor said she is also popular among progressive Episcopalians, Catholics, and evangelicals. The list of these wolves in sheep's clothing, like Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, Methodist Bishop Joseph Sprague, former evangelical pastor Rob Bell, and others, is familiar to anyone concerned about heresy inside the church. These teachers utter false doctrines that seek to undermine the pillar and support of the church, that is, support of the truth, that is, the church. And, you know, he makes reference here in his letter to the statement of our Savior and his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, how he said on this rock of Peter's confession that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he will build his church. And we understand that dispensationally as the Jewish kingdom church. And the heart of what the Lord says there, it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, that the demonic forces of evil will not win the day over the church. Yet having said that, even when it seems like we are the underdog, God has called us, regardless of the circumstances, to press the light into the darkness as the moral back pressure influence in the world today. And he says, think about it. Boltz Weber's heretical views are the assault, the result of her rejection of the Scripture as the inspired, that is, God-breathed and infallible, without error, Word of God. And he says that her delusional provocations illustrate what has become a war in our culture against the truth of Scripture and even against the idea that truth exists. Are you familiar with this? He says that you may have heard this popular phrase to describe our culture, or post-truth, or as Oprah Winfrey's life principle, just live your truth. Or as Frozen, you know, in pop culture, I'm sure many of you have seen the cartoon, the children's animated, wildly popular film and song, Let It Go. Let It Go. That's the live your truth, in other words. That political buzzword suggests that emotions supersede truth and objective facts in our public debates. Perhaps the same could be said for some of our churches. And it's interesting, he goes on to share how Barna Research, some of you are very familiar with Barna, I'm sure, that they released the results of a survey last year, a survey of the religious beliefs of young people under age 19. And that would be classified, if you're under 19 years of age, you're not a baby boomer, of course, and you're not Gen X, and you're not a millennial. They call it Generation Z, as far as the generation that has grown up with nothing but the internet and social media and these types of things. Barna found that the percentage of Gen Z that identifies as atheist, as there is no God, that identifies as atheist is double of the U.S. adult population. Double. And the percentages might not seem all that bad, but it's interesting. He says this, that the religious views, and you know, shifting gears, he says the religious views within the church in America, and especially evangelicals, there's big problems here as well. Because Lifeway and Ligonier Ministries, they did a partner survey, did a substantial research. It was released last fall. And it's interesting, among evangelicals, basically those who identify as a born again, Bible believing, saved by the grace of God, faith in Jesus Christ individual. And yet, having said that, it's one thing to self-identify as far as check off a box. I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian. But having said that, many of these people are perhaps not genuinely saved. God knows ultimately. It was interesting with this that 53% believe everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Yet, and perhaps you've heard the popular parenting advice, "Oh, you're not bad, Johnny. You're not bad, Johnny. You just do bad things." You follow that? No. David said in Psalm 51 that in sin my mother conceived me. In other words, that I have been spiritually dead, depraved, stone cold from fertilization. When I was in my mother's womb, I was spiritually dead. And 52% believe God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And 78% somewhat or strongly believe Jesus Christ is a created being. That Jesus Christ is a created being. And he says that these views all represent serious departure from biblical truth within the evangelical community. And he goes on that 53%, and it says that this survey, it didn't involve Gen Z, but it did inquire with millennials. Millennials are those who are born from about 1983 to about 1998, up until 2000 ballpark. So that 53% said they did not believe the Bible was literally true, but instead contained, quote, helpful accounts of ancient myths. Even worse, that percentage had grown 9% in just 4 years, up from 44% in 2014. And Wildman, he says here that if we do not want to become a barren spiritual wasteland like many places in Europe, we must get serious in American churches about teaching the truth of the Bible to adults and young people alike. And listen, if we think that the world and the devil does not have a plan for our lives, we better think otherwise. And listen, just isolating ourselves from the world, whether it's through whatever means we think is the vehicle of doing so. Whether it's like, hey, I'm going to homeschool my kids, or I'm gonna take them to Sunday school, I'm going to take them to VBS, or I'm going to do this, that, and other thing. Listen, it's not enough. It's not working. We got big problems. So as we come to the Word of God this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see the warning from the Apostle Paul, from his day till our day, We see these leadership lessons leaping from the pages of Scripture. These words of exhortation, what God has called us to do because of who He has called us to be. What's your position? In Christ. And knowing that the Lord is worthy of all praise, we got big work. Big job. We got work to do. And the heart of this here is God is exhorting us to abide. Even as we just sang, abide, to rest, to continue in the word of faith. Take a look in verse 1. Here he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. First off, here in this text, we have the secular character of godless men. The secular character of godless men. Because we see here in verse 1, the warning, Paul, by the divine inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, he's saying to Timothy and to us, as members of the church, the body of Christ, living today in the dispensation of grace. He says, but know this. In other words, take heed. You gotta remember this and not forget. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times. That word perilous, it is the same word that is used in the gospel records of the Gadarene demoniac, the demonically possessed man who is living amongst the tombs in the cemetery area of Gadara, and he was naked and breaking chains and cutting himself on rocks, and he was just literally, it's fierce. And it speaks to us of the reality that the darkness that we observe in culture is demonically empowered of the devil. Because look over to across the page in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see a similar warning here that in 1 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul says that now the Spirit of God expressly says that in latter times. Now when we see in the scripture right here, particularly the Pauline epistles, when we see the last days, the latter times, that's a very specific era that the Lord is referring to through Paul. This is not just last times in general, the end of the world type of thing. Like, the apocalypse or Armageddon, as far as we see this type of vocabulary in the culture. But when we see in the Pauline epistles, particularly here, the last days, this is what he's speaking of, is the last days, the closing stages of the dispensation of grace. And having said that, we need to be very careful that we do not get involved and caught up and wrapped up in some type of date setting. And unfortunately, some grace people have actually, even pastors even, have actually got sidetracked and wrapped up in those types of date-setting endeavors and everything. And every time anybody does that, what it does, it lends itself toward putting fuel onto the fire, if you will. Fuel, it lends itself toward the world being more justified, in their mindset at least, in Christians being a laughing stock of foolishness. Regardless of what's happening in the culture, God has given us a job to do. Regardless of the circumstances of life, whether we live in ancient Rome, as Paul did, in the ancient Roman Empire, or in 21st century post-Christian, post-truth America. Look, watch this. He says in verse 1, he says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons,
speaking lies, verse 2, and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at verse 3, forbidding to marry. And listen, may we never forget that the devil is heavily involved in religion. And it says right here in verse 3, forbidding to marry. What religious group that you know that prohibits people from getting married? And look what it says right here, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. What religious group that you know that prohibits people from eating meat on Friday? You ever wonder why we have fish fry Fridays in Wisconsin? Or pretty much anywhere else for that matter? Or even this time of year, why there's fish fry Wednesdays? It goes right back to that gospel tract in your bulletin. It goes right back to it. But look what this says right here. In verse 3, at the end of the verse, it says, well, these foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Did you know that that is a dispensational distinction in the age of grace today? Because if we go back to Leviticus chapter 11, it speaks of what is kosher and what is not, what is clean and what is unclean. So when we were down in the Gulf Coast of Florida recently, seems like ancient history almost, but when we went out to eat, some of our new friends down there, what did we eat? Well, I told Pastor Don Hausfeld, I said, Don, aren't you grateful as we got these, what were they, mussels? Bathed, cooked mussels and bathed in butter and garlic. And I said, Don, aren't you grateful that we live in the dispensation of grace?
Amen.
Amen. Exactly. And it was, and yes, we had lots of seafood, a lot of unclean foods. And so the heart of it is this, is that we need to understand, as Paul is warning Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times will come. But it's not just the spiritual character. We see in the verse 2, really him unpacking the secular character of the age. The secular character of godless men. Look what he says, for men will be lovers. And listen, in Scripture, this isn't some type of misogynistic, just chauvinistic type of thing. When the Scripture speaks of men, or mankind, it's basically men and women in general. All right? And so it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. You know that? Remember that old song? I remember that song. It was attached to that TV show. I believe it was Brian Leach. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Money, 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 money. Money. You know, men will be lovers of themselves. You know, that's the unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. The unholy trinity. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Using the name of God as a swear word. Disobedient to parents. Listen, it is serious business with God for children to obey their parents and to honor their parents. And when they do so, there is blessing. There is long life, that it may be well with you. And when children do not obey and honor the parents, they are out of that circle of protection, of blessing and long life. And so as parents and grandparents, we have a moral responsibility before God to, as agents of God, to rescue our children from cursing and destruction, to get them back out of the place of peril, back into the place of blessing, and teaching them to obey and honor their parents. And look what it says, unthankful, unholy. Oftentimes we're so filled with discontentment and ingratitude is because that we're not humble before God. We do not understand who God is. Because the type of stuff that this rock star ELCA lady pastor said at the front end of our time this morning, it, that is fueled by having a low view of God. Do we understand that? That a low view of God fuels a low view of Scripture. And a low view of Scripture fuels a low view of doctrine. And a low view of doctrine fuels a low view of practice. So if something is wrong in the world today, or if there is something wrong in the culture of the church, it's because that there is a spiritual disconnect between practice, somebody's life, and their doctrine. So if their life is wrong, something must be wrong with their doctrine. And if there's something not wrong with their doctrine, it's because there is a spiritual disconnect as far as the obedience of faith and them not actually putting feet to their faith by the grace of God. But if their doctrine is right, oftentimes doctrine is wrong because our understanding of Scripture is wrong, and our understanding of the authority of Scripture can be off because we really do not have any idea who God is. So check this out in verse 3. He goes on, he says, unloving. Or in other words, without natural affection. Is it really necessary for women to be taught that, hey, don't kill your baby. Don't kill your babies. The Adams County chapter of Wisconsin Right to Life is starting up, and they're meeting first time next month. Share more with you about that forthcoming. It says, unforgiving, slanderers. Whoa. I'm not going to forgive that person because of what they did to me. And I'm going to make sure everybody else knows about it too. It's slander. Listen, next time that you have a problem with somebody, don't go around talking to other people and saying, or even in saying, well, so-and-so and I, you know, we, da-da-da-da-da. That's godless. It says, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh, Pastor, but we got season tickets to the ball game, and you know, we just can't make, we're not going to be in church on Sunday. Wonder what some of our brethren in areas of the world where it's very dangerous to be Christian. Wonder what their assessment is of comfort zone Christians like many of us. Indictment rightly offered up. But look at this. Not only do we see the secular character of godless men, but we see the spiritual character of godless men here. Look at this. In verse 5 it says, the spiritual character of godless men, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, the Lord Jesus, he reserved some of his most harsh criticism and rightly justified measuring up the religious leaders of his day for these doctrinal conservatives, the Pharisees of his day, besides the Sadducees and these others. And you read Matthew 22 through 24, and he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he is raking them over the coal, something fierce. And listen, that's not exactly the Dale Carnegie way to win friends and influence people. And I guarantee you, you can't find a TED Talk and how to communicate in such a way and expect people to actually take you seriously, if you will, as far as take things to heart. But the Lord Jesus, he was saying, you see in verse 5, that in similar fashion, the Apostle Paul, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Religious conformity is not according to the grace of God. Religion, if you remember, religion is like taking a can of white paint, slapping it on a dumpy outbuilding and saying, well, I got the Taj Mahal.
Well, there's no internal transformation of the heart and life. That's what the grace of God does. That's biblical Christianity. And so Paul says right here in verse 5, he says, from some people turn away. And look at, you see some of the further details of the spiritual character of godless men. And verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And listen, that these type of people prey upon the spiritual ignorance, the doctrinal flimsiness. Of ladies. If you ever wonder why the old mantra when the ship was going down was women and children first. Remember that? Women and children first. It's because God has called men to sacrificially love, lead, and protect women and children. And our hearts should be filled with compassion for women in our life that have been hurt, abused, taken advantage of by men that should have loved them. And we see these godless men taking advantage of these women, taking them captive. In verse 7 it says, speaking of the spiritual character of godless men, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? First off, what is the foundational cornerstone of knowledge, truth, and understanding? What is Proverbs 1:7? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord, having a reverential respect of Almighty God as the fountainhead of truth and wisdom and knowledge. That is where it starts. And if we have a low view of God, we're going to have a low view of Scripture, and we're not going to take His Word seriously as to what we should believe, and especially as far as what we should believe about salvation and what we're to believe about in this present dispensation of grace. And therefore, how that is to be lived out practically day by day. This is always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's because we got to do not pass go, do not collect $200. Got to go right back to the beginning. Who is God? And look at the next verse here. It gives an example. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Josephus, he's an ancient Jewish historian. He unpacks that these guys, unnamed explicitly in Scripture, these guys were understood as the court magicians of Pharaoh in Egypt. These are the guys, as you recall, as Moses was sent by Yahweh to Egypt, just command Pharaoh, let my people go, thus says the Lord. And Moses was given a staff to put down this staff, it's turned into a serpent and everything. Well, Moses, you know, his evidence of the power of God was matched at that time in part by the court magicians of Pharaoh. And these guys, they resisted Moses by doing the same thing. They put their staffs down. And what did Moses' staff do to theirs? Consume. His snake consumed the others. It says, the men of corrupt minds, verse 8, disapprove concerning the end of faith, but they will progress. Look at this. This is good, isn't it? Verse 9. But they will progress no further. In other words, God is in control, regardless of the headlines. And we need not fear. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. How big is your God? God is on the throne, dear ones. So we see the secular character of godless men. We see the spiritual character of godless men. But look at the faithful character of godly men. Look at verse 10. But you. Don't you love that three-letter word? Not just because it's on Gino's license plate, but check this out. We love that three-letter word because it is a sea change of what was to what is and could be and ought to be. He says, but you, Timothy, have carefully followed my what? So we see this faithful character of godly men. You have carefully followed my what? Doctrine, what we believe. Manner of life, how we live. Purpose, what we're about. Our faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. These godly virtues here. And that's why relationships are so precious, and that we live on mission in Christ together in authentic community. One of the crazy things that we're seeing in the world today, particularly amongst the millennial generation, is that therapy, psychiatric therapy, is such a frequented deal in the millennial generation, having learned from their predecessors, that the stigma of therapy is gone. It is like, it's accepted. And it's interesting that this therapy is really the substitute for real relationships in the home and the family and with friends and yes, social media. And even as David held up his gizmo there, it doesn't help at all because many of these millennials are not good conversationalists whatsoever. So they don't have any connections really with one another, let alone older people that can really come alongside and minister to them in a way that makes a huge difference. And so the heart of what Paul is saying here to Timothy, he says, Timothy as a younger man, hey, me as an older man, you know all these virtues of my life and you continue faithfully following in my footsteps. And look in verse 11. The persevering character of godly men. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, not of them all. The Lord delivered me. And listen, Paul was undeterred, come what may, the circumstances of life. Because he understood that, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If the devil is not rattling your cage, it's because he doesn't have to. You're just following in line, and he's not even paying attention to you. Because either we've lived it, we're in the comfort zone of our understanding of what the Christian life is. But listen, if we're going to get serious about what we believe and why we believe it and what that means for our lives, you know what? Don't be surprised when you glow in the dark to the demons. But thanks be to God that absolutely nothing, zilch, zero, nada can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And look at verse 13. He says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And regardless of what's happening in the world, may we never be deceived into thinking that, you know what, this is it, Christ is coming next week. It can't get any worse than this. Well, listen, what would have happened in history if believers in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd century, if they circled the wagons, raised the white flag, and just hunkered down to the rapture? Dear ones, we wouldn't have our country as we know it today. And God knows what He has in plan for this generation or the next and beyond. And watch this. Look at in verse 14. We see the teachable character of godly men. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, Timothy had a teachable spirit. He learned from Paul, and Paul's exhorting him to continue in the Word, to abide in the Word, having been blessed with a godly mother and a grandmother who inculcated, invested the Word of God in their hearts in the context of relationship. Relationships, dear ones, it takes time, and yes, it takes money. And our
Money follows where our heart is. And check this out.
We see in verse 16 the word-centered character of godly men. That the Word of God, all Scripture, the library of the canon thereof, 66 books, is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed, and it is therefore profitable for what? For what we believe as doctrine, for reproof, how to know what's right, how to get right, how to stay right. Doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Why? That we might be about what God has called us to be about. That we might be equipped with the tools we need to do what God has called us to do. Because of who He has called us to be in Christ. And may we never forget that why we do what we do is not in order to get saved or to stay saved, but because we are saved. Amen? And the word-centered character of godly men and this work ethic character of godly men flows out of having a reverential fear of Almighty God. Because if our life is off, it's because our doctrine is off. And if our doctrine is off, it's oftentimes because our understanding of the Word of God is off. Our understanding of the Word of God is off, oftentimes because our understanding of who God is off. And so when we see crazy things in the world and crazy people saying crazy things, what is going on? Well, I submit to you, people like Boltzweber and others have really no idea who God is. May it not be so in our lives. May we live out the reality of who He is and the absolute truth of His Word. And intentionally pass it on to the next generation with resolute conviction for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are indeed worthy of all praise. We thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the power of the cross, which has spoken and indeed has the final word. May You be praised to the utmost, both now and forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen.